Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They are the best in the business. Great professionals who are just even better people. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs may be, they'll make sure you are covered. They will do everything within their power to find you the best price. They'll update when needed. If anything ever happens, they go to work as if it happened to them because customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Check out the product lines online. And remember that the Sunbury Motors Service Department, which is outstanding, is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. At 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. for the Sunbury Motors Service Department. All right, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated in a moment on football recruiting. First, our play-by-play call of the day. The last ever professional catch by David Tyree.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
Caught it off the top of his helmet. It's the last catch he ever made in his career. Couldn't have made a better one. That's our play-by-play call of the day. Now let's bring in Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, Rivals.com. Ryan, how about you, the kids, your wife, your family, everybody is well and safe. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, we're pretty good, man. It's quiet for the most part for Easter, but sometimes that's not a bad thing.
with young ones in the house, sometimes quiet is okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
So. All right. In the last 10 days, and then particularly over a 24-hour span, Penn State had its name mentioned by prospects. How did this all play out where it came together so quickly?
Well, let's take it back to Jalen Reed last Thursday. If you take it back even a week before that, he was originally planning to make a move in the beginning of May, and that was kind of, we knew it was going to be Penn State. You know, he didn't really hide it. But then two of his, I don't want to call friends, you know, they're not like best friends or anything, but Kobe King and Kalen King, also from Detroit, you know, they too were kind of planning something on the side. And once it became clear that all three of them, all from Detroit, and all of them were going to end up at Penn State, Jalen pushed his decision up, which ended up being last Thursday, and then Kalen and Kobe decided on Friday. Well, then, on top of that, once it became clear to Zachy Wheatley, who's from Maryland, that Penn State was going to add a couple defensive backs, he said, well, I'm not going to lose out on my spot either, and decided to just kind of join right away. So that's how you get three defensive back commitments in a 24-hour span. It really just has to do with a bunch of players who were already leaning this direction, deciding, hey, look, there's no reason to drag this out. I know I can't take visits for at least another 6 weeks, probably even longer than that. Possibly. We'll see. Holding out hope. But it feels like I might drag to June now. But, yeah, these guys just, you know, they knew where they were going and didn't want to waste this, you know, take any more time. So that's basically the way it played out. And then, you know, you have Kobe King, who's a linebacker prospect, Kalen's twin brother. Penn State's only expected to take two this year, max. So it worked out in the situation where, you know, he didn't really have much of a reason to wait either. So just a bunch of guys that are ready to get it over with and, you know, announcing all together you know, helps the staff in some ways too with momentum.
All right, which brings me to the next part. Why did all of them feel like this was the place for them?
Yeah. Bunch of different reasons. I mean, every player is different. So
as I talk about all the time, there's no golden.
No,
that's it. That's the one thing.
No, definitely not. You know, with the three Detroit guys, let's give Tim Banks his due. You know, Tim Banks has always been kind of overlooked a little bit as a recruiter, and I think that really starting to show to fans. Especially this week here, you know, he added Enzo Jennings previously and, you know, helped with some other guys. But that was a big reason, you know, especially with the two defensive backs, Reed and Kalen. They've been speaking highly of Banks for a long time. With Wheatley, you know, he was really just Penn State from the start. I don't want to say he's like a Penn State kid or anything. You know, he didn't particularly grew up a fan. But when he started visiting, and he's taken, I think it was like 5 visits in 7 months. Once he started visiting, his last one was the Lash Fest last year in July, so more than 7 months. But, that really just changed it all. Once he visited, got on campus, he was pretty much sold from the start. So it's, you know, just a combination of different things. You know, some guys just fit with the school, which I think Wheatley kind of exemplifies. And then, you know, you have the Detroit guys who really feel comfortable with Coach Banks. Kobe was kind of in between. You know, Brent Pry really recruited him hard, but Banks recruits his area, so he spoke highly of both of those guys. Just really a combination of a bunch of things. I think all of them, you know, are big academic guys too. They're all very good students, great personalities. So they just fit the program well.
Of all the verbals they have so far, is there one person in particular that has the ability, in your opinion, to be someone that it stays in contact with a lot of people and tries to recruit as well?
Yeah, I mean, Landon Tangwall is definitely the pick there. I think a lot of fans were excited about that commitment for many reasons. Obviously, he's a versatile lineman who could play guard or tackle. And, look, he's a top 30 recruit for a reason. But also, make no mistake, he's very very friendly with a lot of players throughout the DMV area. I think as soon as he committed, you know, we talked 72 hours later. I think he said he spoke with like about a dozen guys within 3 days, which is pretty good. He's very active with that stuff. You know, Landon's also a guy who has been going to camps since like 8th grade. So, you know, when you start going to all those different camps and recruiting visits, you just get out and meet a lot of guys, not even, you know, players from your specific area. So he's just a connected guy, great personality, and someone who, he's loved Penn State for a long time now. Like I said, he really started being recruited as an 8th grader. Actually, Bowen was recruiting him when he was still at Maryland, which is pretty interesting. So just someone who's been around a lot and has met a lot of guys and, is out to do what he can to help the staff recruit.
All right, so when you've had a chance to talk to all of these guys, what's this been like for them? And did the situation the way it is right now, because this would have been blue-white weekend anyway, coming up, did the situation say, you know what, I just want to get this, all right? Mm-hmm. I want to get this done. I mean, was that part of the attitude when you talked to some of them, because they already really knew what they wanted to do, or, I mean, what does the situation play as a role in all this?
Yeah, it's look, these guys all, like I said, they were all leaning towards Penn State. So it was, I think, easier for them because they already kind of knew, hey, look, I know I'm a take here. I know, you know, the staff really wants me, and I know I can decide here kind of at any point. So for the guys that have all committed, they felt safe, I guess you would say. But there's a lot of guys that aren't committed right now who are really torn. I think a good example of this right now is DeJuan Warren. He's a junior college prospect out of Lackawanna. He's only visited one school so far, and that's Penn State. And Penn State fans know all about Lackawanna's history with this school.
Yeah.
And we expect him to end up here. But Warren has also blown up in the last 6-7 weeks. You know, everyone from Georgia to Alabama, all these elite schools want him. And he's in a tough spot now because Penn State has three defensive backs committed. I think they might have a fourth here in the next week or two. But he's going to be in a tough spot because, you know, he knows Penn State very good chance that's going to be the school. But, you know, when you have all these other elite schools knocking on the door, you want to wait this out, you know, and at least take some of those visits to see your other options. So I think guys like him, this is really impacting more. But to circle back to kind of what you said, I mean, a guy like Landon Tangwall, for example, he was going to take a couple visits. And, you know, he was always leaning towards Penn State, though. So he missed out on a couple Notre Dame visits. And I think Jalen Reed wanted to go back to Georgia once. And, you know, would he have ended up there? Probably not. But, you know, he missed out on a visit or so. Caitlin and Kobe, you know, they were visiting for the longest time. You know, they took so many visits as juniors and sophomores. So they really kind of were already knew what they wanted to do. But, you know, for Reed and Tangwall, it did mess them up a little bit.
Back in, let's go back to the 70s into the 80s. Penn State had a great junior college pipeline in Nassau Community College. And Nassau Community College, Penn State would get a guy here and a guy there, but they'd come from Nassau to here. What is it about Lackawanna that has opened the door for Penn State? Because I know James Franklin said it's a great story to see this happen for them.
Just the program that dude has built up there. You know, it's gone from a mid-tier program to an elite program in a short time. And I think Mark Duda and his entire staff up there deserve just a ton of credit. I mean, they have built this into, you know, kind of like the Clemson of junior colleges, if that makes sense. A school that, within a relatively short period of time, has gone from, you know, hey, top 25 team, you know, consistent but nothing elite, to a school that is now getting, you know, some of the best junior college talent in the country. So that's a major reason why. When you have a school, you know, whatever it is, I will say 100 miles, I'm not sure, you might know better than me, but not too far from State College, and, you know, and they are developing elite players year in and year out, it makes it pretty easy for Penn State to say, hey, look, you know, we have this school up the street here that can fill in spots here and there. I mean, just last year, for example, Norval Black and Jair Brown, you know, they needed some older wide receiver, which is where Black jumped in at, and then they needed a safety prospect who, you know, was a bit older and experienced than someone like Tyler Rudolph, and that's where Brown comes in. So, you know, when you have gaps in your roster and then you have this elite junior college, you know, not that far away, it makes it easier, you know, for the staff to take that jump. And also one other thing I'll add is just they've done a great job not just getting prospects, but getting guys to, you know, clean up things, you know, whether it be grades or just, you know, getting in trouble or whatever it is. I mean, guys go to junior college for a reason, mm-hmm. usually because they made some sort of a tiny mistake. And sometimes it's not really even their fault. You know, they just didn't have the leadership or, you know, guidance around them. Lackawanna does an incredible job at getting guys to improve their grades, you know, getting guys to see the full picture and seeing their potential and living out that that dream, I guess. So, you know, give them a lot of credit for not just developing talent, but developing that talent, you know, mentally and everything else off the field.
All right, so now the next question is, where to from here? And, you know, what kind of adjustments has the staff had to make through, because this would have been a huge visit weekend, whether it's official or unofficial, this would have been a huge visit weekend. So what kind of adjustments have the staff made to that?
Well, they're just doing the best they can. It's kind of one of those one day, one week at a time kind of situations.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, virtual visits and things like that, we're not seeing that as much with Penn State. And the big reason for that is simply just because all of their really top guys have already been here before. So doing a virtual tour at the Lash building with Coach Franklin doesn't really do much for right. someone like Derek Davis out of Pittsburgh, who's
sure.
visited eight times.
Right.
You know, I think as far as what to watch for with commitments and whatnot and adding to the class, I think Jeffrey Davis Jr. out of Connecticut is a player to keep a pretty close eye on here this next week or two. I was explaining this to people the other day. It's just if you watch what players do, they can tell you a lot. Right after Wheatley committed on Friday, Davis comes out on Twitter and says, hey, I'm putting out my top schools. He said this 15 minutes after Wheatley. And then on Sunday, he announces his top schools. Now, this is a player who, you know, we've known has been leaning towards Penn State for a while. So for him to just all of a sudden, you know, put out his top schools and do all these things when none of that was expected until Penn State gets three commitments from defensive backs, it just says a lot. So, you know, I spoke with him today, and, you know, he is planning to move things up whether it's a commitment here in the next week or two, we'll see. I think he's still thinking about it a little bit more, but he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. Penn State's only expected to take five. It'd be six defensive backs max, and that's if they get, you know, one of those elite players in a Tony Grimes or a Derek Davis, because those guys probably won't decide until pretty late in the process. So, you know, with three spots filled, five total, you know, Dejon Warren, I already mentioned, he's a player that Penn State really wants, so he could potentially be that fifth guy. And then, like I said, you add one of the elite players. So that makes sense for someone like Davis to decide pretty soon.
Obviously, this is still early in the process, a long way to go. And we, you know, as you and I know, somebody may want to opt for the NFL draft, whatever. There's always circumstances as to why guys leave and so forth. But as of right now, what would be the minimum number Penn State could get before this year is out?
Good question, man. I'm trying to figure that out every 2 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're projecting right around 20, 21. Okay. I believe their scholarship count is at 87, which mm-hmm. means they'd have to drop one or two. Mm-hmm. Now, however, there's also a few walk-on guys who we don't know their exact
right.
situation.
Exactly.
So it's kind of tough to predict that number. But from what the information I do have, it would be an 87 scholarship count, and then that would project to about 20, 21 guys, so a little bit smaller. But again, you know, like you mentioned, if you got guys leaving that's unexpected, or transfers that, you know, could still
right.
theoretically happen,
sure.
You know, that could bump it up a little bit. So we think it'll be just above 20, with room to grow to maybe 22. I think 23 would be the absolute max.
Right. Okay. This is the wrong way to phrase it, because anybody you recruit can turn out to be, after 3 years, 4 years, the big fish. But obviously there's some high-profile recruits out there that have made up their minds yet. Where is Penn State, in your opinion, with some of the higher-profile names out there? Because obviously
yeah.
they usually wait longer anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a few of those guys want to do that this year, and it makes sense, especially, you know, with the current situation. Let's go through a couple of offensive guys first. I think Nolan Rucci is a name that a lot of fans understand, know, and follow very closely. You know, Nolan was planning to decide probably late May, early June, and originally the plan was for him to actually go to Europe for a class trip in June, and that's why he was going to try and get this over with before that. Obviously, I don't think he's going to Europe anymore. I haven't confirmed that with him exactly, but
no.
Pretty sure that's not taking place. So he has a little more room now to wait this out and look at some things. I think Nolan really will end up at either Clemson or Penn State, and I think he wants to take a few more visits if he can. So I still think June is a period to watch, especially if you know, guys can take official visits, at least maybe later in the month. But we'll see what happens. Christian Veilleux is another player to keep an eye on out of Canada, plays in Maryland. Really, pretty much Penn State's top quarterback prospect right now. I think Caleb Williams is headed to Oklahoma. I think a lot of fans understand that. So Christian's down to Clemson, Penn State, and Duke. Those are the three I'm primarily focused on. Tennessee and West Virginia are also in there, but I think he'll end up at probably either Clemson or Penn State, although I don't want to rule out Duke, because every time I kind of rule them out a little bit, and then I talk to the kid, I'm like, I can't roll this team out. So we'll see what happens there. I think he wants to decide. Originally, the plan was to decide late April, early May. He's another one of those players who really kind of wants to get to the beginning of May, maybe the first week or so of May, and hopefully by then we have a better answer with the NCAA and a better understanding on, well, hey, you know, are we going to be able to take visits in June or not? And really, I would add that there's so many kids in that shoes and in those shoes right now who really just want to get to the beginning of May and see if this dead period is going to get extended, because it is going to get extended into June. I really think we're just going to see a flood of commitments, because a lot of guys are just getting absolutely hammered right now with coaches and calls. You know, one thing, it's good that you know, everybody's taking this seriously, and you know, the players are at home, and you know, everyone's being safe, but for recruits right now, they're just getting absolutely hammered with coaches all across the country. So we can go on and on and on, though. Dante Thornton's another guy. He's not making a move until late in the year. Derek Davis, Tony Grimes, two top defensive backs I kind of mentioned earlier. they're not deciding until really late in the year. So there's a lot of top players that want to figure this out, and then there's quite a few others who have said, you know, screw this, I'm just waiting until the season, and we're going to wait this out.
Finally, how's this changed for you at all? Maybe if at all?
Not really. Not much.
Well, I was going to say,
you know, when it all happened.
I didn't think it would. But
yeah. When it all happened, I was worried. Just I think a lot of my colleagues, too, where, hey, what are we going to do for the next couple months? I'll say this. Let's give Penn State, Chris Peterson, everybody over there, Greg Kincaid, our new SID, give them a lot of credit. They've been great at giving us video conferences. I think a lot of people on the beat were, worried, I guess you would say, how's this going to work? And over the last couple of weeks, you know, they've given us a ton of access. For me personally, you know, I definitely thought, hey, you know, this is one of the busiest visit periods of the year. This is not going to be fun. I'm not looking forward to the situation. But I guess what I didn't realize at the time was that coaches weren't going to be able to focus on their players, and because of that, they were really going to have to focus on the recruiting end. So we're seeing schools get creative with Madden tournaments, everything from, you know, virtual tours. I mean, one thing that Penn State is doing is they've done virtual kind of film sessions. So, you know, they'll put a Zoom camera in the film room, sure, and, you know, Tyler Bowen will be up there explaining to some of the tight ends that they're going after nationally, you know, different ways they've used fire meets and whatnot. So that's something we are seeing from their end. But it's busy, man, and I think a lot of guys, especially as we've gotten, you know, about a month into this now, and they see that there's really no end in sight, or at least no concrete date for that, they're saying, hey, let's make a move here and, you know, lock in a spot, especially if it's your top school.
Hey, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy, and all the best to you and your family, as always. Please stay safe, okay, my friend?
Yep. Thanks, guys. See ya, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ryan Sider, Rivals.com, Blue White Illustrated. More in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they do great work. And go online, by the way, and check out the product lines at Sunbury Motors and also Sunbury Motors Kia. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Need insurance more than ever. Auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance need may be, they'll make sure you're covered. They'll also make sure you get the best price whenever possible. They're great pros, great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. We'll get to what I talked about earlier about opposing leagues and stars in a moment. Let's explain to you how the draft is going to work next week. The NFL has put out how they're going to do it, and it's going to be done, obviously, virtually. But each team has a designated drafter. It'll be connected to the league's official Microsoft Teams private and encrypted draft channel. All right, so they'll have that. You're going to get 10 minutes per pick in the first round, as usual. 7 minutes per pick in rounds two and three on Friday the 24th. And then 5 minutes per pick in rounds four through seven. Now, they had talked about expanding time, but it sounds like they'll be a little liberal about it on day three, but for the most part, they just want to adhere to it as much as possible. The draft next year is in Cleveland. So I don't think a lot of people may not have realized. But the draft next year is in Cleveland. And, of course, you know, Las Vegas has been just decimated by the closing of the casinos. And then, of course, then they lose the draft. I mean, you're going to have thousands of people descending upon Cleveland, on Las Vegas to be there. Cleveland gets the draft in 21. Kansas City also gets a draft, and they want to make sure that Los Angeles and Las Vegas get it before 2025, okay? So that's how that works. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, that you knew the draft rules and what they were going to be next week. We did talk earlier about Calvin Booth, the former Nittany Lion, assistant general manager, Denver Nuggets. Well, right now, there is no general manager of the Denver Nuggets. Arturas Karnišovas moved from the Nuggets to the vice presidency of the Chicago Bulls. And Calvin's name has been mentioned in Denver to be a GM, and it's been mentioned in Chicago to be a GM. Now there are other candidates, but we're going to get a writer from the Denver Post on the show tomorrow. Pete Retzlaff passed away, and so did Al Kaline. Let me get to Al Kaline first, because I never talked about this last week. Al Kaline with the Detroit Tigers. You're talking about he put together a 67-year career with the Tigers as a player, decades as a broadcaster. He was a special assistant to the team president. Remarkable. He was a great hitter, and what a fielder he was. He had over 3,000 hits in his career. I think 3,007, I want to say. And isn't it ironic sometimes in a memorable season, which for 1968 in Detroit was a memorable season, you're saying, oh, what a year Kaline must have had in that world championship season. Actually, Kaline broke his arm during the season and missed a period of time. And then he came back, and now they're going to play. There's no playoff during then. The Tigers won the American League pennant, and the Cardinals won the National League pennant. They're going to play each other. And at that point, Mickey Stanley, Jim Northrup, and Willie Horton happened to be the outfield. That was the outfield. And Al Kaline had gone to Mayo Smith, the manager, and said, geez, I don't really think you ought to break up what's going on here. And Mayo Smith looks at him and says, are you nuts? You're Al Kaline. You're darn right you're going to play. So what Mayo Smith did was an incredible thing. He took Mickey Stanley and for the World Series moved him to shortstop. Shortstop. Okay? Phenomenal. And was terrific at shortstop, and Kaline had a great World Series. Yeah, first of all, he's a great defensive player, an awesome hitter, the whole thing. And then finally, he gets into the showcase moment. And Al Kaline played like the Hall of Fame showcase player that he was. Al Kaline never played a day in the minor leagues. Not one day in the minor leagues. He got signed out of high school. He was the Detroit Tiger. Now, they had a rule back then about the size of the signing bonus. And if the size of the signing bonus was above a certain number, you had to be on the major league roster. And Kaline's was above the number, so he was on the major league roster and just stayed there his whole career. 3,007 hits. broadcaster, special assistant, 67 years with the Tigers. And Peter King, in his column today, writes about in 1968, he and his dad going from Enfield up to Fenway for a game. The Tigers were playing. And he threw his 25-cent program down to Al Kaline and asked him to please sign it, Mr. Kaline. And Al Kaline took his time in perfect penmanship, signed Al Kaline. Okay? Arnold Palmer has always told, the late Arnold Palmer always told other golfers, when you sign your autograph, sign your autograph so people can read it. A friend across the street from us had gone to a Colts-Packers game. And he came back with a program, and he gave it to my brother and me with several players signing it. Dennis Gaubatz, who was the middle linebacker for the Colts, Ray Nitschke, and he got Bart Starr to sign it. All of them, especially Starr, impeccable penmanship. You look at Arnold Palmer's autograph, impeccable penmanship. Impeccable. Same thing with Al Kaline, impeccable. In other words, if you're going to sign it, do it so they can read it. Some of you may out there have Jack Ham's autograph. Okay? Jack Ham, when he signs it, you can tell he takes his time and it's meticulous. It's the way it should be. It's the way it should be. So I wanted to mention that. Now, Pete Retzlaff and Timmy Brown both passed away. Retzlaff, I think, over the weekend. Timmy Brown last week. Pete Retzlaff and Tim Brown were ahead of their time. They would be terrific players today. Tim Brown was so versatile, running back. He could catch the ball in the backfield. Great kick returner, the whole deal. I mean, lightning quick. Boy, he'd be a good pro today. A fabulous player with the Eagles and then some with the Colts. And Pete Retzlaff, it's an interesting era in the 60s into the early 70s with tight ends. Bob Tucker played at Bloomsburg. Bob Tucker was fabulous with the Giants, old number 38. All right. Well, Pete Retzlaff was like that. Yeah, you had Tim Brown, you had Tommy McDonald, and Retzlaff was the tight end. This guy was a 1,000-yard receiving tight end. And was just a terrific player. Pete Retzlaff was a terrific player. Great seasons with the Eagles. Wore 44. Remember him like it was yesterday. Same thing with Timmy Brown. I think Tim Brown wore 22 when he was at the Eagles. I think he wore number 2 when he was with the Colts. Something like that. But just great offensive players. Exciting players. And both of them, their style of play, they could play now. You see a lot of tight ends today, H-backs today, playing like Pete Retzlaff used to play. So I wanted to mention them, because we talked about Bobby Mitchell passing away. Well, Eagles fans, you know, Tom Dempsey, which we did talk about when he passed. Tim Brown and Pete Retzlaff, we wanted to mention them. Rival leagues, why can't they succeed today? We'll tell you about that in a moment. So we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, bundles, whatever it may be. They're the best in the business. Everyone's always trying to grapple with their insurance needs. Go to the pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And talk about going to the pros, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. All right, I was talking earlier about rival leagues because we've seen now the AAF. Now, it's not a rival league. It was a spring football league. They weren't meant to be a rival to the NFL. They lasted 50 days. The XFL was not meant to be a rival league to the NFL, and because of the pandemic, it lasted 30 days. Because you know, many have felt, hey, look, there's an appetite for football. We can play in the spring and so forth. But the USFL in the 3 years had it going in some ways. But in order to do this, you need star power. You need some semblance of star power. The star power now only exists in Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, and the NFL. I'm talking about team sports here, obviously. Hey, you need star power. I don't care what sport it's in. You talk college basketball, Lamar Stevens gives you star power. You talk about wrestling, Bo Nickel gives you star power. You want to talk about college football, Saquon Barkley gives you star power. Right? Star power means something. When the USFL got going, they signed Herschel Walker. They did what? They signed Herschel Walker out of Georgia? Well, now you're curious about what's going on. Then you sign Steve Young. Then you sign Jim Kelly. Then you sign Reggie White. Then you sign Mike Rozier. And then you start noticing some other guys are pretty good players. Kelvin Bryant. Well, he's not a star. Well, you know, I was watching the Generals game with Herschel Walker. Kelvin Bryant's a pretty good player. And then I'm watching the game, and I notice that little middle linebacker they had, Sam Mills, not very big. He's a pretty good player. Of course, Mills eventually went on and had a terrific career with the New Orleans Saints. So that's what happens. The star draws you in, and then you start watching other guys play. You're like, oh, that guy's pretty good. That guy's pretty good. That guy's pretty good. In the WHA, they signed Bobby Hull to leave the Chicago Blackhawks to play for the Winnipeg Jets. Boom! Instant splash. ABA. Okay, the ABA got Connie Hawkins. Then they signed Rick Barry to leave the San Francisco Warriors to play for the Oakland Oaks. And then they were able to convince Julius Erving, after his junior year at UMass, to go to the Virginia Squires. Really? And then all of a sudden you start noticing as they're playing, like, that George McGinnis guy's pretty good with Indiana. Okay, that Mel Daniels guy's pretty good. They got Artis Gilmore. They got, let's see, Larry Keenan signed with them. He was really good. Then you start noticing Bill Melchior, and he's pretty good. Billy Paltz is pretty good. You start noticing the other guys that aren't the stars. You're like going, oh, good player, good player, good player. And then all of a sudden you get David Thompson playing with Denver. Wow. And Dan Issel with Kentucky. Wow. That's how you get now. Now, these leagues did not survive on their own in the end. They got absorbed. Wayne Gretzky signs with the Indianapolis Racers. Then eventually with Edmonton, he gets into the NHL. You know, so four teams got in. Quebec, now Colorado. Winnipeg, which is now Arizona. The current Winnipeg is the old Atlanta Thrashers. The Edmonton Oilers and the Hartford Whalers, now the Carolina Hurricanes. The ABA, they survived just enough to get the San Antonio Spurs in, the Indiana Pacers in, the Brooklyn Nets in, who were the New York Nets when they went in. I mean, they were able to do that, and the Denver Nuggets, to get them in. They did just enough. Now, Kentucky could have, but decided not to. All right? That's a story we've already related. And, of course, the AFL survived, but the AFL did the same thing. They started getting star power. And that's what these leagues that come in now, the AAF, the XFL, they don't have that. You watch the game, you go, okay, P.J. Walker, he's a good player, but all right. X is a good running back, all right. I mean, there's nothing to draw you into saying, I can't wait to watch that game. There are no stars. Oh, they're going to have players that stand out that are better than some other guys. But I already know that Landry Jones was the backup quarterback for the Steelers. Now watching him play for Dallas, I'm watching the Steelers' former backup quarterback. Okay. That's what I'm watching. And that is why these leagues, I mean, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball, of course, there's been nobody to go after Major League Baseball really since the 19-teens when the Federal League tried. I mean, nobody's really gone after baseball since. There really has been no rival league since. And by the way, one of the great trivia questions of all time, Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field was not built for the Cubs, you know. Wrigley Field was built for the Chicago Whales of the Federal League. And when the Federal League folded, then the Cubs went to Wrigley Field, since the field was already there. But these leagues are such behemoths now, there's nothing to challenge them. And the only way, if you anybody ever decide to do a rivalry challenge, you got to somehow spend the cash and get some star power. It's the only shot you have at competing. It's the only shot you have. The AFL hit it just right. They didn't really do that in the beginning, but there was an appetite for football out there, and the NFL, when the AFL was formed, only had 12 franchises. So the door was open. But then when finally got the AFL going, really, I mean, like to another level going, was when they signed Joe Namath. And again, why? Star power. Suddenly, you know, the AFL, wow, Joe Namath. Because of Matt Cotrillo, we have star power. I have 200 texts from the weekend just of his kid. I just don't. Really?
He's the real star.
He's adorable.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.